الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد علمنا المستقدمين منكم ولقد علمنا المستأخرين صدق الله العظيم.
My most respected brothers and elders, and of course our mothers and sisters at home listening over the receiver. As far as dunya is concerned, every one of us strives to improve the quality of his life. In schools, pupils write examinations, they write tests, and each time the pupil tries to better his results. He tries to excel. If the teacher sees there's room for improvement, then he makes sure that he works harder and he strives, he endeavors, and he betters his result. And then the teacher writes, progress noted. In any aspect of the dunya, person has a business, starts out very small, and as time goes by, he gains more experience. He looks at other people around him. He gets some ideas from them. But he has a goal. And to achieve this goal, he has to strive hard. And you will find that he is always looking for ways to improve his business. Any commodity, anything that is manufactured, the very first time it is made, person may be happy, but then he realizes there are some flaws. There are some shortcomings, deficiencies in this product of mine. So each time, he strives to better that product. Look at the cars we have. Every time we see this is the ultimate. But there's no ultimate, it continues. They try to improve the car. Woman, each time she's trying to improve her look. More and more cosmetics in the market, and she's using it. So everybody wants to beautify themselves. They want to progress in life. They want to better their condition, their way of life. Our homes, any new appliance that is available, then to improve the quality of the life at home and comfort, then we purchase that appliance. Let us look at Akhirat. Let us look at ourselves with regard to the Akhirat. Are we complacent? Are we just sitting back, relaxed on the level that we are and we were few years back? Perhaps 10 years back, 20, 30, 40, 50 years back? What is the level of our spiritual self? What is the level of our Iman? Are we complacent? Are we just satisfied? Or are we making genuine strides in improving the quality of our Iman? Are we trying to improve the quality of our salah? Have we made any efforts to improve our dhikrullah? Have we made efforts to improve the quality of our spiritual life? What is our bond and ta'alluq and attachment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it the same as we were previously? Are we feeling stronger in our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Has my khushu and khudu, my concentration, my humility in salah improved from before? Am I making more zikrullah? Am I more conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I've made several umrahs in hajj. Each time have I improved on the hajj? Have I improved on the quality of my umrah? Tilawat of the Quran. Each time I open the Quran, am I reading and reciting the same as I was previous years? Or now I understand more the Quran Sharif? I'm seeking more knowledge because I want the sunnah of Rasulullah to come into my life. Perhaps previously, there were only five or six sunnahs in my life. Now there are many more sunnahs. These are questions you and I need to ask ourselves. In the verse that he recited, Mufassireen have mentioned various tafasir. And this is not the occasion and time to go into the tafsir of this verse and the sababun nuzul of this verse. There are various opinions of the Mufassireen. But if you look at the sum total of what they all are saying is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the essence of this verse? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at those who go forward towards ta'at, towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows very well those who are going ahead, those who are going forward. And Allah knows very well those who are lagging behind. We should be amongst those who go forward for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be amongst those who contemplate on the verses of the Holy Quran, and this we have discussed previously. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with reference to striving for akhirat, Allah uses the word sari'u, sabiqu, fasabiquna, fasabiquna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about those who go ahead, ulaika humul muqarrabun, they are those who are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah makes mention of the word فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. In other words, a person should move with great fervor as though he is competing with his brother towards improving the quality of the a'mal saliha, and towards achieving the Jannah. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the word badiru has been mentioned, to hasten. As far as dunya is concerned, Allah uses the word famshu, walk. All the other words are talking about rushing, running, moving fast, moving ahead. So in this particular verse, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَقْدِمِينَ مِنْكُمْ. Allah says, we know very well those who are going ahead from those who are lagging behind. Amongst the tafsir, one that has been mentioned, we know those who are there in the first saf in the masjid. And various ahadith talk about going forward in the masjid, filling in the first safs. And therefore, especially on the day of Jumu'ah, stern warnings have been given as to those who come late and then they go over the other people's shoulder, causing them pain, discomfort. And this can be avoided if we fill in the masjid, the first safs first. And this is the fervor we should be having. It's a beautiful riwayat in Bukhari Sharif, Abu Waqid, Harith bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala an, mentions that there were three people who were going past by the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time was sitting with his sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, and they were busy engaged in some very important dini matter, some discourse, some ta'aleem was taking place. Rasulullah SAW was parting some important advices to the sahaba. So, إِذْ أَقْبَلَ إِثْنَانِ وَرَجَعَ الثَّالِثِ وَذَهَبَ الثَّالِثِ. He says, from the three friends, two of them come into the masjid, they come forward, the other goes away. He proceeds, he goes home, or wherever, on whatever errand he was. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after terminating that majlis, he suddenly tells the sahaba, shall I not tell you about the three people who came to a gathering? Two came forward, one returned, and then he explains the condition, what happened. The very first one, amma ahaduhum, the very first person, when he saw that a majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taking place, he became so excited. He became so thrilled. He had this burning desire to acquire dini knowledge and to be in the company of his beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the moment this happened and he saw that a majlis was taking place, immediately he looked, he searched for a space, a gap in the crowd. He found a suitable place close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَأَوَى إِلَيْهِ أَيْ إِنْضَمَّ إِلَيْهِ. He joined this majlis. He found a nice place. فَرَأَى فُرُجَّةً فَأَوَى إِلَيْهِ. So the space, and immediately he finds, he sees himself in this gathering and he listens to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam discourse. The second person also entered the masjid. فَاسْتَحْيَى. But he was feeling a bit difficult to really go into the crowd and find a space. So what he did, he sits right in the back, at the rear end of the majlis, the end of the majlis. Fastahiya, he was feeling difficult to cause any person any type of taklif by going over them. The first person did not do so, he found a space, he sat down. The second person, in one riwayat, فَمَضَىٰ قَلِيلًا, he moved slightly, and then he comes, and then he sits right in the back. And the third person was not interested at all. He looked at this gathering, it did not even interest him, so he proceeded. Rasulullah says, the first person, فَأَوَىٰ إِلَى الْمَجْلِسِ فَأَوَىٰ إِلَيْهِ, the one who took refuge, or who found solace in the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of his burning desire to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and imbibe the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَآوَاهُ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showered his special mercy on this particular person. إِنَزَلَ عَلَيْهِ الرَّحْمَةِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his special mercy upon this person. Allah's tawajjuh was on this person. Allah liked this action of this person, that he did not delay. He did not procrastinate. He said, this gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a chance of doing a good deed. I should not lose this opportunity. Immediately he goes, without even making any, asking or thinking about it twice, he goes and he seats himself and he benefits. So Allah becomes pleased. This is the first grade, as we say. Second person did not go so close, but he still participated in this gathering. Fastahiyallahu means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also sent down his mercy upon this person. Allah ta'ala was not displeased with him because ultimately he also sat in this gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although he did not come forward, but he did join this gathering. So both of them enjoyed the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the third person, and this is a lesson for us, فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ, he turned away from the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was not interested in learning from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that particular moment. فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also shifted his attention and mercy away from this person. The commentators write, سَخِطَ عَلَيْهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became displeased with this third person. Now what do we learn? The same topic that I'm discussing and trying to highlight to you today is in matters of amali salihah. We should not procrastinate. Go forward. You wake up at night. You are feeling lazy. But you say it's beautiful. It's 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. Go and read 2 rakat tahajjud salah. Shaitan will cause many insinuations. He'll make you feel lazy. It's cold. It's difficult. Okay, sleep a little while. Shaitan will actually tell you and whisper to you, weren't you feeling very feverish today? Aren't you getting a cold? Are you not so well? You excuse, you can lie down. Of course, there is no sin for this. But the moment the person takes up the courage and he goes forward, and this is what we are saying, going forward for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in amal salihah, and he goes forward and he's performed his 2 rakat, tahajjud salat, Allah ta'ala becomes so happy with such a person. Coming to the masjid, we fill in the first saf. In acts of amal salihah and good deeds, we should be going forward. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, they would question Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, show us this action, show us that action, that will take me closer to Jannah, keep me away from Jahannam. Dullani ala amalin idha amiltuhu, dakhaltul Jannah. Show me an action, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if I do this action, I will enter Jannah. I'll be saved from fire of Jahannam. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, ala adullukum, ألا ما يمحو الله به الخطايا ويرفع به الدرجات. Should I not show you some actions, some deeds through which Allah will wipe out your sins and Allah will increase your levels, your status, your ranks in Jannah? Immediately the Sahaba all said, بلا يا رسول الله, indeed, show us. So see the interest they have, see the keenness they have to improve the quality of the iman, to improve the quality of the salah. Can we imagine the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Haritha radiallahu talan, and we have mentioned this incident so many times before, for the benefit of those who are here listening to this first time. And of course, it's a reminder to all of us, and it fits in very well with this topic which I'm explaining, that we should go forward and not lag behind as far as the deen of Allah ta'ala is concerned. Haritha radiallahu talan is sleeping in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi Kareem goes, awakens him, and poses a question to him, كَيْفَ أَصْبَحْتَ يَا حَارِثَ. How have you risen this morning, O Haritha? What is your condition? Rasulullah meant his spiritual condition. Haritha understood the question of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And therefore he answered, أَصْبَحْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مُؤْمِنًا حَقًّا. I have risen this morning to be a true, genuine believer. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِكُلِّ قَوْلٍ حَقِيقًا وَمَا حَقِيقَةُ قُولِكَ يَا حَرِثًا. Everything has some proof. You are claiming something. Where is your dalil? Where is your proof? How can you claim that you have a pakka believer? He says, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Listen very carefully. He says, كَأَنِّي أَنظُرُ إِلَى عَرْشِ رَبِّي. The feeling in my heart, the kafiyah as we say, the spiritual feeling, the spiritual level, he's not saying this out of pride. He's not saying this out of ujab and vanity. Rasulullah is questioning him. He's only revealing the truth. He's explaining to Rasulullah his feeling. He says, I have risen this morning in such a condition. It is as though I have this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is as though I can see the arsh of my Allah in front of me. Imagine this feeling. That he can actually feel the presence of the arsh of Allah in front of him. He says, it is as though I can see the people in Jannah rejoicing with the bounties and boons and favors of paradise. And it is as though I can see the people of hellfire shrieking and screaming for help. Rasulullah ﷺ explained to him, إِنَّكَ مْرُؤٌ نَوَّرَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ. You are such a person whose heart Allah has illuminated. Allah has brightened. Allah has given you nur in your heart. Now see, from Haritha, when he accepted Islam, and to that particular level, he improved his quality of iman. He improved the quality of his amal salihah. They did not sit back complacent. You'll find Isahawi brings iman, the very first thing he wants to do, learn the basic tenets of Islam and immediately go and give da'wah to somebody else. In some of the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the following appears, أنت المقدم أنت المؤخر. The same meaning has been given. Wallah, you are the one who puts forward towards good deeds and jannah to whoever you wish to put forward. In other words, we are asking Allah, Wallah, give me the tawfiq of a'mal saliha. أنت المقدم أنت المؤخر. Ya Allah, you are the one who can pull back a person from entry into Jannah by not giving him the tawfiq of doing a'mal saliha. We are weak. Allah, do not make me be among those who lag behind. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he left no stone unturned when it came to striving for the akhirah in endeavoring in doing good deeds. There was always a so-called competition between him and Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Umar ibn Khattab tried desperately many times to outdo Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. One particular occasion, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, see, Sahaba would look for avenues to improve the good deeds, the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He finds out there's some old woman and she needs some assistance. Let me go and help her. He goes early in the morning. Somebody had come already and seen to all her needs. House was clean, tidy. She was blind, she could not see. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, so early I came, who could it be? The next morning he comes even more earlier. He enters the home, he stands behind the door. Shortly after that, somebody opens the door, makes salam. When he sees, it is none other than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, who came with so much of ikhlas, sincerity. There was no show in their lives, no fame. They were humble in the true sense of the word. But again, they went forward for amal saliha. They understood the injunction of sari'u, sabiqu, badiru, fastabiqul khairat. They were not among those who were musta'khireen, who lagged behind. And therefore, when Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala, when he left the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for a few moments engaged with his family at home and his children, when he found a slight drop in his spiritual level. Can we? We can't even imagine the high spiritual level Sahaba had. But the slight deficiency, he actually regarded himself as being a hypocrite. He said, "Nafaqa handala." We're not going to go into the whole story. But the point here again, Sahaba went forward. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and especially Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, also Tamim Midari radiallahu ta'ala, would stand for long, long, long hours at night, engaged in tahajjud, reciting the entire Quran and Majid. For you and I, it may be impossible. Perhaps in the month of Ramadan, many hufaz may do it. This was a daily routine. The night preceding the day when Uthman Ghani radiallahu was killed, his wife Naila had said, "Whether you intaqtuluhu tatrukuhu, whether you kill him or leave him alone, you spare his life. My Uthman has recited the whole Quran in one rakat." One rakat. Can you imagine what lens they went through? Masruq rahmatullahi alayhi tabi'i. He used to recite such long hours of tahajjud, hatta warimat qadamahu, until his feet would become swollen. The exact thing found in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahmatullahi alayhi would make his fajr salat with the isha wudu. Long duration of time. What was he engaged in? In acts of deen, ibadat. Reciting Quran, teaching. Reading tahajjud salat, making dhikrullah. He remained in wudu for the entire duration of the night. It is mentioned about him that he did not see the back of the congregation. For 40 years, he was always in the first saf. Even before the muazzin would be there for fajr salah, Sayyid ibn Musayyib rahmatullah was already there, sitting in the first saf. MashaAllah, many masajid, you find people, early morning they're coming. On the Jummah salah also, they come early. May Allah give all of us a tawfiq and hidayat to make amal. Tazawwad min at-taqwa, fa'innaka la tadri, إذا جن الليل هل تعيش إلى الفجر. The poet says, inculcate in yourself taqwa. Do good amal, do good deeds. We don't have time to look down upon the next person. That's our problem. We only look for faults at other people so that we have some story to say. What do we do? What's new? Look at the phone. Anything new? Anything to send which has become viral? All our time we're just preoccupied with that. Whereas the poet says, tazawwad min at-taqwa, worry about taqwa, the provisions of akhirat. You do not know whether you will live till fajr. He says, فَكَمْ مِنْ فَتَنْ يُصْبِحُ وَيُمْسِي لَاهِيًا. How many a youth, how many a youngster? His morning and evening, he's just wasting in frivolous pursuits. Idle gossip. Unnecessary things of dunya. وَقَدْ نُسِجَتْ أَكْفَانُهُ وَهُوَ لَا يَدْرِي. And his kafan is already woven, and he is unaware of the fact that his mouth is striking any time. فَكَمْ مِنْ عَرُوسٍ زَيَّنُوهَا لِزَوْجِهَا. And how many a bride has been adorned for her husband? وَقَدْ قُبِضَتْ أَرْوَاحُهُمْ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ. It's already destined, لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ, that certain day the person is going to die. Allah Ta'ala give the bride and bridegroom, the nikah going to take place. Allah give them long life, barakat. It's not for them, this is for all of us. To ponder and reflect, may Allah give them barakat, may Allah give them long life. But this is the reality of life. Reality. The poet says, how many a sick person lives for many years, yet we find a healthy person, nothing was wrong with him, and suddenly we find he passes away. Therefore, let us not procrastinate. You get an opportunity of doing some good deed, go for it. Do not lag behind. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَقْدِمِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْنَا الْمُسْتَأْخِرِينَ. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal. This is something for all of us to reflect and ponder over. Let us improve the quality of not of our dunya, improve the quality of our akhirah. We have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to present those beautiful deeds before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What provisions are we already sending forward for the akhirah? Let us go home today and ponder and reflect over that. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.